Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's start where we should start. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you for the Comforter that came, Lord, to lead us and guide us into all truth. He's the Revelator, Lord. He's the Teacher. And He brings illumination to our understanding. Holy Spirit, we invite your presence here. We invite you to take control. I yield to you, Lord. We yield to you. Bring our Father's will into our lives and into this place this morning. Touch hearts. Change lives. Direct us, correct us in Jesus' name. We're thankful and we're grateful for that, Lord. Edify, comfort, build up, and exhort in love, Lord. And Lord, this morning, we just take this opportunity now to lift up Thomas, Kathy's son. Lord, we pray for that interview today. We pray that the divine favor of God would be with him, that he will find favor with those people. And Lord, that this would be a place where he can begin to settle in and mature in many ways, Lord. But more than anything, that he would know and understand you're the one who did it and give you all the honor and glory. And we will also, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all been praying, continue to pray for that gal's family, that little girl that was killed, deceased now for those who may not know that. Pray for them. I mean, that's hard. And pray for the young man's family too. When you are not actively involved in your children's lives, and when you do not teach them the Word of God, and if you're not a Christian, you can't do that. But you have the ability to teach moral principles and things. If you don't do that, you're opening the door for the enemy to come in and steal and kill and destroy in your household. You need to be praying for them every time they walk open the door and walk out the door. You need to be praying for them while they're in school. You know, we entrust our children to people who are not teaching our kids the right things. They're subverting the morals and the standards of God that we teach in our homes. Exactly. And so if you're not doing a good job and you're kind of taking it easy and just trusting the schools, let me just tell you, you might not like what you see after a little while. Let's keep in mind that we need to keep praying for these people. I personally cannot fathom or imagine what both families are going through. Thank God I've never had to. Thank God you've never had to. If you have, Father, I pray that you touch the lives and take the hurt away. Put peace and joy in the place of pain. Amen. God is the only answer, folks. God is the only answer. And y'all know that. I know that because I see you come every Sunday and you're faithful. Family of God. So, just be aware of that. God is still in control. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's receive God's tithes and our offerings this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. You know, that's something to get excited about. That's God's way of giving us the opportunity to be blessed, but also to bless Him.
Heavenly Father, we rejoice to come into your house this morning to worship you and to return to you what belongs to you, Heavenly Father. And Father, it's amazing that you only require 10% of what you give us to be returned back to you. And you take that 90% that we have and you purify that so that it goes further than it would to a person who doesn't understand that principle, Heavenly Father. And we're returning to you what belongs to you. And we ask you to bless this offering and to bless each and every person that's here and can contribute either with finances, Heavenly Father, or with the ability to work for the church, Heavenly Father. You have many gifts that you've given us that we can return to you in many different ways, and we're grateful for that, Heavenly Father. We ask you to bless each of us, and we ask you to help us to have open ears to hear what you have for us today. In Jesus' most precious name we pray, amen.
I'm sure y'all are noticing that Jean's not here this morning. Apparently, somehow she damaged her shoulder where she had an injury before. And she was in great pain this morning when I prayed for her and talked to her. But doesn't have very much use of it. Believe me, I know all about that from my mom. So apparently she damaged the rotator cuff at one time in one of her arms. And she's not sure if that's what happened. But we prayed and pray that my prayer was that, and if you can agree with that, then that it won't be what she thinks it is. And that the God will get the glory from the doctors and everybody when they see what's going on there. Amen? A supernatural touch from God. Amen. That's right. So Father, right now in Jesus' name, we lift up that family. We lift up that lady, Lord. We ask for a supernatural touch from you. We send your word to her, Lord, in Jesus' name. Know that Jesus paid the price by his bruises and stripes and by the blood that he shed, by the beating that he took, the chastisement, Lord, that she is healed. Lord, touch her body, touch her mind and her soul and her spirit. Raise her up. If she's not a believer, Lord, we pray that you just infiltrate her heart, fill her with your love, open her eyes, the eyes of her understanding, and bless her in Jesus' name. We thank you in advance, Lord, for the report and for doing this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all ready to just spend some time with the Lord this morning? Let's do that. Amen. Father, right now, once again, we just come right to you, Lord, with humble, adoring hearts, Lord. We love you, Lord, with everything that's within us, Lord. We give you praise and worship today. Lord, once again, I ask you to order my steps in your word, to declare my thoughts, Lord, and use me to minister to these people today. Put your words in my mouth, Lord. I yield myself to you, your servant, and their servant. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for what you're going to accomplish in every heart today. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, one of the things that we get real forgetful real fast in our lives is that our words, every word we speak, contains power. And it's either a power that brings about good and sets in place the blessings of God, or it's words that set the tone for our future negatively. It's either going to be positive or negative. If you want to turn with me, we're going to look at an old scripture, but we're going to tie it in with something else today. Turn with me to James chapter 3, verse 1. You know, God's Word tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And what we don't realize is that, everything we say is an arrow that's going out or a seed that's being planted that's going to bring forth some form of harvest. Amen. So this morning, I just want to just give a little reminder from the Word here. And maybe help. Not maybe. If you'll listen and you'll diligently listen and obey, I can say that. Then you'll be blessed. One way or another, you'll either be blessed or you'll find problems in your future by what you say today. And where you are today is a direct result of what you said yesterday. James chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren, he's talking to all of us. We're his brothers, right? Let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. In other words, we're going to be held accountable in a greater way. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in his word, he is a perfect man. Listen carefully. We all stumble in many ways. But if we don't stumble in our word, we are a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. In other words, everything we do, we keep under control. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Our tongue is a rudder in our life. and it's going to steer us to the blessings of God, the promises of God, the abundance of God, or it's going to steer us to a place where we are headed for some kind of shipwreck. Even so, in verse 5, the tongue is a little member. In other words, the tongue is just like a rudder. It's very small, but it steers our entire life. The things we confess, the things we say, the things we let come out of our mouth as far as our beliefs. And it boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. We've all experienced forest fires here in Colorado. We know that it just takes one little spark to start something that is a raging inferno. And again, if you understand the Word and you're really hearing what I'm saying to you and what the Spirit's saying to you, you can either start a fire that's going to absolutely be a force for the kingdom of God, or bring destruction to your life and possibly other lives around you. And the tongue is a fire. And, you know, I don't know about y'all, but there's been times, most of the time, when I've looked at that scripture, I've looked at that in a negative context. But it is a fire. Listen to what I'm telling you here. The tongue is a fire. A world of iniquity can be. If it's not motivated and controlled by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles our whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it sets on fire, it's set on fire by hell. Our very words betray what's in our heart, either for the kingdom or against the kingdom and the Word of God. If we confess something negative or we say something out of some superstition or some other circumstance or, you know, something, you know, it's like the person who says, well, you know, I never win anything. Nothing ever goes right for me. Well, again, I say to you what it says in Hosea, I believe it's Hosea, consider your ways. What's coming out of your mouth? If you're going to walk in the blessings of God, if you're going to have the abundance and the power of God working in your life, you're going to have to say what God says, not what you feel, and not what your mind dictates or what your circumstances dictate. And the only way you can do that is by the renewing of your mind, by the washing of the water of the Word. Amen. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. No man can tame the tongue. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And that ties in with Jeremiah 17:9 about our hearts being deceitful and desperately wicked. You know, if I can just use this term, not very pleasant, but it's kind of the truth. If we just kind of go and vomit all over everybody, you know, things that are useless, that are idle, you know, we're not doing any good for ourselves or them. The Scripture also talks about how we bless men and we curse we bless men or we turn around and curse, or we bless God but we curse our brothers, curse men. You can't do that. If your life is full of joy, full of the Holy Spirit and power, and full of the Word, then you can't do that. What you say is going to be a benefit every moment of every day in every situation. You can't walk both sides of the fence in your thinking and the way you speak. If you trust God, if you believe God, what's going to come out of your mouth is faith and deliverance and blessing in every situation, not only for you, but those around you. Amen. With our tongue we bless our God, and there it is right there, chapter 3, verse 9. With our tongue we bless God and our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or just like God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Or can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. There's things that we desire in our lives. There's things that we look for. There's things we aspire to. But as Christians, we need to remember, you know, this is something very hard for some people. Maybe you're in this place where this has been difficult. Because, you know, as soon as something comes up, I mean, you forget who you are. You forget what God's done. And all of a sudden, you're talking about things and you're thinking thoughts and things, and things come out of your mouth that, I mean, you're not even cognizant of what you're doing. God promises long life and good days. But that comes by speaking the right things every moment. You know, He says we'll give an account for every idle word that we speak. That word means unproductive. You're not speaking that's speaking something into existence that's good, then you're probably speaking something that's going to bring, at some point, calamity or discomfort in your life. At some point. We have the ability to change our circumstances and the circumstances of people around us by speaking the Word in faith. Amen. James 4:7 in the next chapter says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The Word of God is a pathway. It's a road to everlasting life. And it's a pathway to walk in and receive the blessings of God in our life. But we go through life sometimes, and we say things just sometimes out of the corner of our mouth or just off the cuff, you know, to people, and it didn't build them up at all. It may have even caused them to stumble or caused harm in their life. But yet, on the other hand, when we speak the words of life, we speak the Word, what's happening? We're speaking into situations that may be in their life that's going to build them up and going to draw them out and reveal to them who God is, reveal His love, and reveal what is theirs if they will serve the Lord. It's already been done. Price has been paid. Amen? We all know that. So we need to be sure that when we open our mouth, what comes out of it are things that pertain to life, not death. Let's use some examples. Many people, and I'm not saying it's not true, but what are you speaking into existence when you say these things? I'm going to tell you in Matthew 9:29, it says, according to your faith, let it be to you. According to your faith, let it be to you. The weather changes, and all of a sudden people who have been afflicted with arthritis and things say, man, I can tell the weather's going to change, or man, it's cold, my bones ache, and things like that. And I'm not saying that's not true. What I'm saying is that the right confession? The Bible says, let us hold fast our confession, our profession. Profession of what? Our profession of faith and what the Word of God says. In other words, you can either have the blessings of God pronounced over your life and walk in them, or you can struggle and stumble and fuss and fume and moan and groan, or and have your circumstances stay the same or maybe even deteriorate, or you can have the blessings of God flowing in your life in every aspect. Let me give you an example. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. We'll start in verse 18. Y'all with me so far? This is a perfect example of death and life being in the power of the tongue, and your faith being spoken out of your mouth rather than your doubt, or your misgiving, or your apprehension. Well, just nothing good ever happens to me. Oh, really? Now, in light of what we've already said, I wonder whose fault that is. Now, we know we have an enemy, but you want to know something? Sometimes that enemy doesn't even have to show up on the scene. We'll just do his work for him. I mean, just let her rip, Bless our darling hearts and mixed up minds. Verse 18, chapter 9 of Matthew, it says, "While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, 'My daughter has just died.'" Now that's direct and to the point. Now he's not stating unbelief, he's stating a fact as he sees it. But it's not the truth. It's only a fact. Are you with me? Amen. Do you believe that? "But come and lay your hands on her, and she will live." Excuse me, what did I say? Matthew 9:29? That's the scripture that I was telling you. I don't remember what I said. But let's go back and finish this. Anyway, in other words, this man's coming and he's confessing, "My daughter's dead. But if you'll come and lay hands on her, she will live." Now that's speaking in directly opposite, but speaking into a situation that there's hope in God and he's gone to the right person for the job. "So Jesus arose and followed him and said, and so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment." Now listen carefully. In verse 21, "For she said to herself, 'If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well.'" She's already got the issue of blood. She's already been to many physicians. The Bible says she suffered many things at many physicians. And she came and she saw Jesus, and in her heart, she believed that if I can just touch his garment, I don't even have to be touched by him, I don't have to even talk to him. If I can just touch his garment, I'm going to be healed. Verse 22, "But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, 'Be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well.'" Reversing the situation in her life. We sang the song this morning, "God will make a way where there seems to be no way." How does He do that? By faith in our confession. And if our confession lines up with our faith, might be a good barometer to see where your faith is at. The other thing is, there's many things in our lives that we look at, we desire, and we think, man, this would be great. It is what God says, but I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I've made too many mistakes. I'm going to pick on a statement. I'm not going to reveal who said it, but I'm going to pick on a statement. Somebody said this morning to me about, "I'll be glad when this year's over. I don't like 13. How many know superstition is faith too? You hear me? Superstition is faith too. Superstition is faith in the negative and in the ungodliness and the unrighteousness that's out there and in the Father of this world. Not our Father, the Father of heaven, the Creator of man. Amen? And so in the last part of verse 22, after Jesus, it's in red letters, if you've got a red letter edition in your Bible, be of good cheer, your faith has made you whole. And the woman was made well from that hour. Not a week from now, not 10 minutes from now, but from that very moment that Jesus said that and where she put action into her faith. First she said it in her heart, she spoke it out, and then she put action with it by touching His garment. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, listen carefully, and He said to them, "Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And what happened? They ridiculed Him. "Honey, I don't know where you've been, but we've been here, and that girl's dead. Ain't no life in her." But when the crowd was put outside, you've got to get rid of the doubt and unbelief. You've got to put it outside. Amen? "He went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report went out into all the land." If you want to go on and read, you can read for a little further in verse 9, or chapter 9 of Matthew. You read about the blind man healed, and the mute man speaks, and about the compassion of Jesus. And that's what happened. Virtue and compassion went out from Jesus because somebody, He perceived the words. I don't know, maybe He heard them. I don't know. We'll know when we get there. Amen. We'll question Him then. Most of you were here a while back. I'm guessing probably a year ago. I think it might have been a year ago now. When I said there's a brand new vehicle sitting out there. And what's sitting out there? You may not see it out there. It's right outside the, right behind Kathy there. I told Patrick last week, I said, this, I never imagined having anything that nice. I can honestly say it's far beyond what I could ask or think. A blessing from God. And the biggest blessing, and I didn't go in debt for it. He provided the money, He provided the right vehicle for the right price that's very sound and meets needs, not only of myself, but some of the rest of you have had the privilege of riding in it. It's a privilege for me to ride in it because it's a blessing from God. Amen? So when I say that, I'm not just saying, hey, you're privileged to be able to ride in my car. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we're all privileged to be able to ride in a car that Jesus, that God provided. Amen? My God shall supply what? What? All your needs according to what? His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He is our provider. Amen? Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 verse... For some reason the verse escapes me. Let's just look at it real quickly. 6:36 I believe it is. 33. Thank you, Holy Spirit. "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Amen? But you first got to speak it into existence and agree with the Word of God and let your petition be made known to God. What's your petition? How many of you go around here praying, "Well, Lord, I just wish I'd get a cold. Lord, I wish my bones would ache when the weather gets nasty." You don't go around praying that. You don't go around saying that. But you confess that when it happens. Rather than saying, "Thank you, Lord, I thank you that I am healed by your bruises and stripes. I thank you, Lord, you paid the price. You did a complete work. It's mine. I have it. And now, Lord, I don't care what I feel. I don't care what I see. I don't care what's spoken over me. And I don't care. Lord, my confession is, the words coming out of my mouth is, I am healed. And you never waver for that, no matter what. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you the state you see me in right now and the state that some of you are in, that's not the final story. That's not the end of the story. Amen? Remember, I've told you before, we read the, you know, from the first of the book to the end of the book and the end of the Bible, and in the last chapter, I don't know if y'all remember this or not, maybe you better go read it again, we win. Amen? Victory. The battle's the Lord's, but the victory's ours. But the battle's already been won. Let me say that again. The battle's the Lord's, but the victory is ours. Has the Lord won? Did He do what He said He was going to do? Was He raised from the dead? Has He given salvation, a great salvation? You know, the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You know, God is awesome. He's amazing. And when I'm talking about neglect, I'm talking about not walking and not perceiving and believing the things that He's promised to you. He's not like your neighbor or your brother who may promise something and say, well, you know, I didn't have time. Well, I'm a little short this week. Oh, honey, God never comes up short. Amen? God never comes up short. It's impossible. He not only owns the cattle on a thousand hills, but He owns the hills too. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. This is a walk of faith, not a walk of sight, not a walk of feelings. Amen? Hallelujah. So what we need to do is we need to always be cognizant of. And that's why we need to continually fill our mind with this book. And you know, one of the things that's becoming more and more, that I'm becoming more and more aware of, and impacting my life more and more, is, you know, I'll tell you, I kind of like the way Copeland says it. When he prays, he uses very, very a humble, and yet, I don't know what other word to use, but the terms, when he says, "Sir, your word says." I'm not good at grammar, so I'm not going to try to say this. But in other words, that is a form of respect. And walking in and understanding and being able to say, God, you know, sir, this is what you said, and I believe it. I'm walking in it. And don't make any difference whether you see it or whether you have it the moment you speak it. That'll happen sometimes. But the point is, the Bible says, everything He's given to us. And everything He did, we'll do even greater. And He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Amen? So. Now, if we're operating in faith, then what we're thinking and what we're asking is big things. Amen? Not just little things. You know, I've said before, and this is something that it just amazes me how limited our minds are. We only run to God when we need something. Some people, I say, not we personally, maybe. If this shoe fits, wear it. If it doesn't, put it on a shelf. Just say, thank God, I'm past that. Give God glory. But some people say when, you know, they get in trouble or something comes up, and that's when they run to God. You know. And there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible says, you know, it'll be open to you, seek and you'll find, and ask and you shall receive. Not in that order, but anyway. And the Bible says when you pray, you know, you receive the things that you ask for. He hears and answers your prayers. Not sometimes, or if He feels like it that day. He hears and answers yours and my prayers. Always. Always. But when we do that, because we're so finite-minded and so sensually minded, in other words, self-indulged, when we pray, Lord, bless me. You said you'd provide what I need. What would happen? I'm not going to go there. I've said that a million times. I'm going to put it a different way. Let's change that. Let's pray, God, I need a blessing, but Lord, in that blessing, I want a blessing big enough not only to meet my needs and to bless me, but to bless others. To bless others. Far beyond what I could ask or think. Amen? That's what it's all about. Not about us, it's about others. Unfortunately, what happens is when we get into situations or certain circumstances come, we forget all about everything and everybody else, and right then, it's all about us. God says He knows what you have need of before you ask. But you know what? It might just change the timing involved if we pray, Father, bless me so that I can bless others and watch God automatically meet your need. Is that a new concept to some of you? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways. Translate that, in all my ways, I need to acknowledge God, and He will direct my path. Amen. Sometimes you need to make these things personal, folks. You need to use your name. You need to put you in first place in those things so that you can get the gist of what's being said and understand it's for you. Amen. We sometimes rob ourselves by our confessions or the lack of our confessions of faith in Christ. And what we need to do is we need to be so fixed and focused in the Word and our minds so renewed that when we come, what comes out of our mouth, it comes out automatically because of the abundance of our heart. Amen? The Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin. And so, if we fill our hearts with the abundance of God's Word and spend time with Him, first of all, He becomes more real to us. If you meditate on the things that God's done, who He is, what His abilities are, and then, again, use the Word, you're going to come out on top every time. And it's not the outcome. It's not that we don't believe we'll receive what God says, but the biggest thing we struggle with is God's timing. But what if this one time you prayed and it was God's time to say, you got it, right now? Y'all need to say out loud, I am the apple of God's eye. I am His favorite. Amen. Say it with conviction. I am His favorite. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I have the favor of God. I have the favor of man. The righteous one lives and dwells in me. So I'm righteous. Amen? I'm healed. Like the song we sing. We can sing it a million times, but until it gets down in here, it's useless. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Amen? Let's give thanks for what He's done. And He's done it all. Just a matter of us coming to the place where we receive it. And how we receive it is by confessing out of our mouth. Letting our request be made known to God. And then confessing out of our mouth, it's ours. That's the only way that car got put out there. I see Kathy's got her new one. Praise the Lord. Ha, 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 ha. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I know what you're saying. Not a chance. Not a chance. Amen. Do y'all believe like that? Not a chance. How many remember the children of Israel coming out of Egypt? And they had the opportunity within just the first month to walk around, walk right into the promised land. And yet it took them 40 years because they vacillated back and forth. They were double-minded. They'd see the blessing of God and then they'd turn around and get all off on some other tangent or somebody'd say something. All of a sudden, fear and stuff would set in and they start going off, you know, doing, you know, ungodly things. And so it took them 40 years. And even then, some folks didn't get to go in. And yet God said, when you say promised land, what does that denote? What do you think about when you hear that? Promised land. No. Well, yeah, okay, that I understand what you're saying from a literal standpoint, but it means more than that and more literally than that. It's promised land. It's promised to you and to I. Amen. It's promised land. We have promised land in this book. That's where our feet trod, the land is ours. Let me paint another picture for you. When you go into a situation or something that you desire or something that you need or for when you're praying for somebody else, that's your land. If you'll confess it and believe it, that it's yours, it's yours. God says the gates of hell can't prevail against it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He displeased God. If you read the story, you'll find out that he displeased God. If you need a bigger explanation than that, you've got to have to ask him when you get there. That's right, exactly. Well, and that very good, Patrick. That is absolutely right. You know, that's why God cautions you don't ask for positions in the church because you're held to a higher standard, and God holds you more accountable than the others. And it's really not hard. You just have a heart to say, God, whatever you want, I'm for, and I will do. Whatever your will is, I'm going to do it. And if he says, just stand there like he did to Moses and a few other folks, just stand there and let me speak through you, then let him do it. You're only responsible for what comes out of your mouth when God gives it to you. But what happens with it after that, you're not responsible anymore. Amen. Do you understand what I'm telling you? So the responsibility is not on you. Why wouldn't you just say what God wanted you to say? Amen. See, the adverse side of that is then you're held accountable because it's out there. The chef or the pastor prepares the food. He serves it to you right off the grill, piping hot. And then what you do with it is between you and God and the Holy Ghost. Amen? But I'm going to take the path that God told me to take. He set before me life and death, blessing and cursing. But he said, choose this day who you're going to serve. And he said, choose life. Amen? What life? The life that He has prepared. And if God's healed us, if God's delivered us, if we're safe from harm, like it says, like salvation is all about, sozo, safe, saved from something to something, then do you realize when you become an heir of God that even the inheritance that you were going to receive has totally, completely changed? Your inheritance now is the promises of God. Your inheritance now is eternal life. Your inheritance now is abundant life. Amen? Hallelujah. You once were lost and undone without God and His Son. The gift was there. It's always been there. It's there for every man. From eons past to eons future. Till Jesus comes again. It's there. But you gotta reach out and you gotta take a hold of it. And that means everything. In every aspect, every corner, every little nook and cranny of your life. You gotta reach out and you gotta take it. You gotta lay hold on eternal life. Amen? Lay hold on it. That takes action. That takes determination. But remember that as you do that, you're not doing it by yourself. God will enforce the decisions and the words of your mouth that come out of your heart. And He'll especially enforce when it's His words that are coming out of your mouth. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want you all to repeat this after me. Father, thank You that I am what You say I am. I have what You say I have. I can do what You say I can do. And I believe it. And I receive it. And I'm going to walk in it from now on. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there anything we need to pray about? Are all hearts clear? And Father, right now in Jesus' name, I bless Your people. I thank You for this day, Lord. I thank You for Your presence here. Holy Spirit, we thank You, Lord. I speak these words are changing lives even this moment, including right here, Lord, starting right here. Father, thank You for Your goodness, for Your mercy. Thank You for Your presence. Thank You for who You are, what You've done. You're reliable. You can't fail. We count on You, Lord. And for that, we praise You and bless You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we just bless Your people. Thank You that Your face shines upon them. They're blessed coming and going. And Lord, right now, as we go back, we bless the food, the fellowship, and we thank You again for this day. More than anything, we thank You for Your presence and for the Holy Spirit revealing to us, enriching us, and illuminating us and our understanding in Jesus' name. Teaching us. Amen. That He really cares even about Linda. Amen. I agree. I agree with what Patrick said. Are y'all in agreement? Hallelujah. Prayer of agreement is the most strong prayer you can pray. Hallelujah. Anything else? You know what that sounds to me like? God showing Himself strong in Marie's behalf. And He's revealing and making manifest the fact that He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for Marie. Thank You for Harry. Thank You for the circumstances being done, taken care of in You, Lord. And I pray that through that, everyone got touched by Your hand, Lord, and by what You did there, in Jesus' name. Go with God and be blessed.